All right. Perfect. We have the first slide up. All right. So, if you don't know us already, my name is Matthew, and my camp name is Potato. It's a pretty funny story on how I got that. But, yeah. And this is, of course, Faith.
And Faith. And my camp name is Cricket, and that's how I'm best known at camp. And we're just going to tell you a little bit about our experience this summer. And if we seem a little nervous, it's because we're really used to talking in front of kids and not adults. So let's get started.
First thing that we're going to mention is that this year at day camp, we had the theme of a Western called the Can-Can Canyon. And so that's why in all these pictures, you're going to see us dressed like cowboys and all that stuff. And so, yeah, let's get started with it. So this is a couple things we're going to talk about, such as what day camp is.
What roles we had as core staff.
A typical day at camp.
Our Bible study rooms.
The activities that we do at camp.
Intentional conversations.
And just our crazy and fun stories that we got to experience. So, what is day camp? So, day camp is run by Temple Baptist Church, of course, and it is 8 weeks overall, 2 prep weeks, and then 6 weeks where 200 new kids come each week. So, overall, over 1,000 that get to hear the gospel and every day and all the time, and it's really awesome.
So this is our core staff. We have a team of 12 people, and each of us all have different roles in how day camp works. Three people are our directors, and one of them being the main person, who is Catherine Reyes, who is the director of the children's ministry. She is the one who really runs it. And then we have Zoe and Torianne, who are our directors this year, and they come up with a theme. They come up with everything that is going on at day camp, and then us as core staff basically put it together. We also have three other special people who have extra jobs, one of them being our special needs coordinator, and he was in charge of the kids who come with special needs and behavioral issues so that they have an opportunity to come to camp. We also have a treehouse coordinator that is Temple's Sunday school program, so she puts together the whole summer program. And we also have a GAP guy. We're not really sure what GAP stands for.
It stands for something.
But he puts together, he just fills in the gaps whenever we have problems. He's a very experienced core staff.
Yeah.
So whenever we have issues.
If we're sick, if somebody can't show up, he's the guy that fills in the gap. That's why he's called the gap guy.
And then us as regular core staff, we have our own roles, and we'll talk about that. So my roles at camp included being band leader. So we are assigned these roles. And I was assigned band leader, and I'm not super musically talented. I took piano lessons when I was little, but I quit because I didn't like it that much. So they made me the lead singer and threw a keyboard at me and said, let's learn this in 2 weeks. So I relearned the piano, and I basically put together the band and made all the songs for the kids. We also have a bus route at Temple. Temple has, they're what they call the Temple Vans. And we just give kids who don't have rides to camp an opportunity to come. So my job was to put together all the routes. And me and my partner, we drove all the routes and handed out letters and stuff just so that the kids could come. I was also part of the team-making coordinator team, so we made all the teams for day camp. So there are three divisions, the junior division, which is the oldest, the middler division, which is like the middle grades, and the primaries, who are the youngest. And we put together all the teams, and we made sure all friend requests were
together.
Yeah.
Yeah, just make sure that it was a puzzle of 200 puzzle pieces, aka children, that you put together and put them into 18 teams.
Yeah. I also had an acting role in my Bible study room as shopkeeper Shelly, and we'll just get to that later. And I was also Meemaw in opening ceremonies, which is basically the main character's grandma. And I taught all about God's love. We'll talk about opening ceremonies soon, too.
And my roles. So, yet again, these are our assigned roles. We don't ask for them. They just give it to us. And that's totally fine because it pushes you in different ways. So volunteer coordinator was one of those that really pushed me because I had to call up people. And I hate calling people on the phone. It's really hard for me to do that, but they gave me 3 years worth, like a book that had people who have helped for the past 3 years, and I had to call all of them and ask them if they wanted to come help us again. And so that was very interesting, but we thankfully had all of the volunteers we needed for the entire year. I was also involved with game time, which is basically where me and another one of the core staff run out in front of 200 children and embarrass ourselves. And also get them to play games, get their leaders to play games, and just have a crazy awesome fun time. And we're going to talk more about that. But yeah, that really broke out of the shell and got me to be able to talk in front of crowds. I also was a part of set coordinator, which we have a huge set we put up every Sunday and take down every Friday. And I was in charge of doing that. That was my job. And then I had an acting role in the play as Deputy Dan. And so I only showed up on Tuesdays and I had 4 lines, but I had a role. I was also in the band. And by in the band, I mean 3 days before camp started, they gave me a bass guitar with sticky notes on it and told me to play it. And I did it. And after the first day, I had kids asking me how long I had played the bass, and their guess was actually that I've been playing it for 7 years. And so must have done at least a decent job. Another role I had was Nacho Grande, which is my Bible study room character. We'll get to him. And then I also ran Olympic Day, which, as we said, there's juniors, middlers, and primaries, and the middlers, that was their special game day. So yeah, that was all of my roles there.
So a typical day at camp, we kind of broke it down because there's a lot of chaos and a lot of fun in day camp. But basically the main points of day camp to share the gospel and just to like share God in these kids' lives is opening ceremonies where we do a play and we basically bring forth the gospel, and we will definitely talk more about that. And our Bible study rooms. So Bible study rooms is a room that you create together with your partner and the core staff, and you start from scratch. You're given stuff from the dollar store and you make it work. And we are given a script, and we basically just, we don't go by the script fully.
You wing it.
But
they give you a Bible story. They give you a script, and then you kind of just go, I'll use the Bible story and wing it.
Yeah, so this is where the kids come during the day, and they're basically brought into a different world, and it's just amazing how we make these Bible study rooms, and they're very focused on the Bible, and they also have to do with the theme. So at opening ceremonies, we have a basic story for them that happens throughout the week, and then Bible study rooms basically build off of that. Then we have daily activities. So we take a break from the church for the afternoon and we go somewhere, and we'll talk about that too. And then we have these things called intentional conversations, which are one-on-one conversations with our campers, and we will get to that. And then we also do Valentine's. So this is a really cool part of camp. During the week, we write out Valentine's for our campers, each one of them. And in February, they get sent out to all the kids on Valentine's Day. And so they feel like they're special and that they're...
Because they are.
Yeah. And that their leaders remember them. Yep. And it's just really
cool. Yeah, it's every single one of those campers will get a Valentine's card signed by their leader, written by their leader. Some people don't believe me when I tell them that I wrote it. They're just like, oh yeah, it was nice that the church wrote it and got your signature. But no, we all write them out ourselves, which is super cool. So opening ceremonies. So opening ceremonies is where all 200 kids per week pack into the auditorium, and then we put on a play and all kinds of stuff. And so we're going to get to that. So like the gospel message. So we tell a story, whether it's about God's love or about sin and what sin is, or Jesus' death and resurrection, and prayer, and all kinds of stuff like that. And then, of course, in Bible study rooms, we reiterate that and talk about it more. And then acting roles. The main character was Sheriff Sharon. I don't know what it was, but half of the kids thought it was Sharon. Half of the kids thought it was Shannon. I don't even know which one it was, but it's Sharon. And then the main kind of like the other main character is Wild Wendy, who was a bandit who let a polar bear out of the zoo. And while she's sitting there in the jail that we have on stage, the sheriff is telling her all about the gospel. And then I was also Deputy Dan, which basically just told the sheriff that Wild Wendy escaped when she escaped. And then Faith was Meemaw, and she could tell you a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was Meemaw, and I had, there was a video of me that was played, and I had a wig on and everything. We tried to get it, but we couldn't get it. But yeah, I basically talked about God's love and how we can't measure that, and because it's just so big. And I had so many of my campers, they're like, that's you, Cricket. And I was like, no, it's not. So, yeah, it was just really fun. We made this whole set from scratch. We had several styrofoam pieces and wood, and we made that all. And our directors wrote the script. And each day had a theme. So Tuesday was God's love. And Wednesday is our gospel message. And that brought across that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And we talked about what sin is and all of that. And we also talked about that God is always with you and about prayer. And, yeah, it was just a great time. We also had band time. This is a part where we take a break from the acting and we sing camp songs and we get the kids all excited and doing actions. And I ran this every day behind that keyboard with sticky notes on it. And yeah, it was great.
Yep.
Do you
want to
talk about band time?
Yeah, yeah. But first with the band time, I don't know how to play a bass or tell you anything about a bass, but if you gave me one, I could play you some really cool camp songs. Now as for game time. So game time was my specialty and I loved it. Running out in front of 200 kids every day, just while they're all screaming and cheering and then and wanting to give you a high five and all that stuff, and then getting them to come up to the front and play games and all that stuff. And so it was a lot of fun. Yet again, another break from the acting and all that. And we have two sections to it, and that is just the normal kids games. And if they win, they get candy, of course. But then we have leader games, which for some kids, leader games were more exciting because they get to see their leaders go up and embarrass themselves. But on top of that, also, we don't have a prize for if you win. For leaders, of course, you have a we have a thing for if you lose. And so if you lose, what ends up happening is it's what is called getting creamed. And getting creamed is where we grab out a paper plate and we put a ton of shaving cream on it, and then you get it in the face. I, being that I was one of the runners of game time, had to get it every week. Once every week, I had to get creamed. And so we have another picture, and that's what getting creamed looks like. Yeah, that's what happened to me once every week because I signed up for game time. So that's opening ceremonies.
Okay, so this is my Bible study room, and it was the general store, and that's me and my partner, Caleb. And I was shopkeeper Shelley, and he was shoplifter Sean. And I had this store. I ran the store, and he would come in, and he'd start stealing things from me. And he would claim that he thought it was all free. And so I told him that the only thing that is free in this world is God's love. So that was our main point. And I basically brought the gospel message forward to him, And we represented that by giving him a free peach cobbler that he had stolen because God had paid for us by sending Jesus to die on the cross. And so basically the point was that God's love is free for us, but it wasn't free for God because he sent his son, Jesus, to die. Yeah, so it was really great to see the campers. They loved Shoplifter Sean and him stealing, and I had to distract them from watching him steal, and they were all screaming, he's stealing. So I had like a big wanted sign up, and we painted those shelves and made those jars, and that's a tablecloth hung. They were like all around the room. So it's like these kids walking into an actual store, and they get to see this acted out, and it was just so, so cool. And the kids just have so many questions, and they're so excited, and we're excited to be doing this for them, so it was great.
And then we get to my room, which is the A-OK corral, where everything is A-OK, and the horses do nothing but neigh all day. And so that is me and my Bible study room partner, Leia. And she is Wrangler Josephine, or Joe, and I am Nacho Grande, which I am the boss of the corral, and I am a very bossy and mean boss. And our main point is about God reigns, and the stories, we told two stories in our Bible study room, the Christmas story of how Jesus was born, because we were in a stable. So in that picture, there's to one of my sides, there's a actual like horse stable with like cardboard horses inside, and then there's my boss's office, and then in one of the corners of the room there's a manger. And so there's actually like a real wooden manger that we got from somebody donated it from their barn or whatever. And we got a real manger, and we dressed it up like it was an actual stable and like a place where Jesus would have been born. And we told them that story, and then we also told them the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And so how our story about God reigns is kind of like how God reigns with his love, and he's not like Nacho Grande, he's not bossy and mean, and he reigns with his love and how much he loves all of them, and also just the story of how he came into this world. And yeah, it was really cool to have all of the kids pile in. And one of the things in this room, I had a windmill. I tore apart a fan and I made it into a windmill that actually worked in my Bible study room. And it was really cool to see this cardboard and duct tape that actually worked. And all of the kids did not expect that to actually happen when I plugged it in. But yeah, it was super fun. And their reaction and their questions and just all kinds of stuff that that they had to say about it.
I forgot to mention the Bible story for my Bible study room. It was of Zacchaeus and how he stole things. He stole money from people, but Jesus still wanted to go to his house and still wanted to be a part of his life, and that Jesus, when he's in your life, he is life-changing, and Zacchaeus wanted to give all the money back 4 times, so we just really emphasize that to the kids.
So our activities. So this is our breaking away from the church kind of activities. So there's the beach, Tecumseh, which is a pool, Wyoming pool and splash pad, laser tag, mini golf, gymnastics, corny corners and bowling, and just, yeah, it's just our breakaway, which is really cool because we get to just hang out with the campers outside of the church, still usually end up telling them about God and the gospel anyways, but they get to interact with us and make a connection with them, with us, and you get to really learn a lot about them and just hang out and have fun, and it's awesome. Do you have any stories from our activities?
You're putting me on the spot.
I know, I'm sorry. I was thinking of stories that I might have.
Well, it's definitely interesting at the pool and at Wyoming Splash Pad because it's a big open area and there's different options. So you can go to the pool, you can go to the splash pad, or you can go to the park, and it's hard to keep track of over 60 kids for each division, or not 60.
Well, yeah. Well, it depends on if you are the leader of that division, then yes, you have to look after 60, possibly 80, depends on the size. But you also have your own individual team. So sometimes we would have 10 campers that were like our responsibility, but then because we were also a division leader, we also had 80 on top of that, which is really interesting and really hard to deal with sometimes. But yeah, so I know there's just there's stories that have meaning to me, and like just the excitement on their faces about to go into laser tag and play laser tag, and them setting up teams with each other, who's going to be on whose team, and playing mini golf, creating challenges for each other to do, and like you only get one stroke, or you have to hit the ball a certain way, or whatever it is, and just all kinds of stuff, fun stuff like that. But I don't remember any like in particular crazy stories that happened during our activities. But yeah, so
this is intentional conversations, and this was a major point of day camp and our week. So on Wednesday, the gospel message is presented to the campers in opening ceremonies, and every day they hear about the gospel in the Bible study rooms. So intentional conversations is basically just a one-on-one conversation with the camper. Each leader has 10 to 15 campers, and they have a one-on-one conversation with each camper. And we basically see where the child is at with their faith, what their family believes in, if they have a Bible at home, if they're liking camp. And we write this all on a card so that our directors can look at it. And there's also a little check mark that we can do if the child does become saved during that conversation.
Or during the week, yeah.
So it's just a point to really get to know them better and to really see where they're at. And if they do not have a Bible at home, we do give them Bibles, and we do just talk to them, answer any questions. It's amazing the crazy questions that the kids come up with, and it's hard for us to even answer, but we do our best, and they're really, really interested in what we have to say. And these kids, they come from not believing families. They'd never heard of God before, and their family just sends them basically as a daycare, and it's a great opportunity for us to share the gospel with them. So yeah, these are really important.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to hear, especially with the little ones, is when you ask them if they have a Bible, and they're like, no, I don't have a Bible. And then you give them one, and then they're like, oh, I can't read, but I'll get my parents to read it to me. And you're like, yeah, you will. Yes. Let your family read the Bible. But yeah, these are super cool. But there's not actually like a distinct time that we do it. Like, okay, like just pull all your kids to the side and have a one-on-one conversation. It's like we're just doing random activities. Like you're at the bowling alley playing bowling, and their turn isn't for a while. So you just sit down beside them and just say, hey, what's been going on? What are you thinking about what you've been learning? And so that's really just something that's awesome. And another thing that I learned about intentional conversations was that you can be as prepared as you want for the tough questions that they're going to ask you, and you're not prepared because you are expecting questions. Those are questions where you're like, okay, you said that God and Jesus are like one, but yet they're two people. You're expecting that. No, that's not the question. Those are questions you get asked, okay? But the questions they're crazy. They're questions that are actually like bothering these kids, or that they just want answered that you would never expect. A really quick example is I had a kid who was wondering whether or not if you got buried, could you still go to heaven? Because if you're buried in the ground, how could you get through all that dirt to go to heaven? And this was a serious question that this kid was asking me. And it's like, well, yes, you could still go to heaven, but it was, yeah, he still had so many questions that were just like that. That was just one of his many questions.
We also have campers that come up to us who have gone throughout the years, and they know that we talk to them one-on-one, and they come up and they say, okay, we're ready. Let's do this.
Yeah.
and they have questions for us, and yeah, it's really great.
Yeah, there's some kids that save up their questions throughout the year, and then when they get back to camp, they know that they're going to have a one-on-one conversation with their leaders, and they're going to be able to ask it, and that's one of the coolest things about that. And now we have our crazy and funny stories. Yes, I love this part.
So I'll explain the picture a little bit. As you can see, there's two police cars in front of Temple. And on our very first day of camp, we had just gone through 2 weeks of prep, getting everything ready. We show up really early to the church because we know 200 campers are coming for the first time this summer. And one of the directors goes to open the door, and she walks in to put in the code for the alarm, and her code does not work. They've all been changed, all the codes. So
yep, every code was changed.
So
every
this director, being herself, her crazy self,
she
just waltz right into the church, and she says, sit down, we're having our core staff meeting right now, let's go. The police are probably on their way, but let's do it. So the main director, Catherine, she shows up and takes this picture, very surprised that there's two police cars in front of the church. And while we're in the middle of our core staff prayer, a police officer walks in and says, what's going on? So, yeah, we got to deal with that on our very first day.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that was interesting. The alarm's going off, and she's just telling us all the things that we should expect. It was really funny. Another one of my kind of crazy stories that I get to tell and that I very much enjoy telling is the life jacket story. So basically, we are at a pool, and we're going to the bus. We're leaving the pool, and we're on a concrete path. And I'm with one of my smallest campers. He is so tiny, and he is very slow, very, very slow. And he has his towel wrapped around him and a backpack that he's holding like this. He's holding it by the straps. And I told him to hurry up a little bit. And he took that as, I'm going to take a full-on sprint. And so he takes a full sprint down this concrete path. And then the towel drops. And he trips and he flies through the air. And he's still holding onto his backpack like this. So he doesn't brace. He doesn't put his hands out, so the first thing that hits the ground is his face. It's just face to the concrete first, and he is laying on the ground, and he was not getting up. And I was standing there just looking at this, and then my youth pastor was also there. My youth pastor came in to see if everything was okay, and that's the first thing he saw. And, yeah, his face was just like, oh, man, this cannot be good. So I run over to this kid, pick him up off the ground without even, like, thinking about anything. Just look at his face, and he's fine. It's fine. He just, like, it was like nothing happened. He was totally okay, and I was just like, what on earth is this? It turns out that attached to his backpack, he had a life jacket. That as he flew through the air, flew in front of his face, and that's what he hit on the ground. This kid didn't have a scratch on him. He was totally fine. Nothing wrong. I did concussion protocol just to make sure, and he was fine. He was absolutely, totally okay, and it was amazing. But yeah, that's one of the best stories I get to tell.
That's just God's protection on this camp, seriously. So one of my stories was happening during an intentional conversation with one of my campers. I've had her previously in other years of day camp. And she's just talking to me, and she said, Cricket, is Temple ever going to stop talking about God? And I was like, no, I don't think so. I hope not. And then she says, oh, good, because I love him so much. And it was just so, so sweet to see just her love for the Lord. It was amazing.
Do you want me to tell the prayer story? Yeah. Sure. Okay. So this is a story of that another one of the staff got to experience. And she was praying with a little girl. And the little girl was learning how to pray. We were just teaching her what it is and what it's about. So she prays, and she closed her prayer with something that was amazing. And that was, she closed her prayer with, by God, hugs and kisses. And that was how she closed. And it was just amazing. I love that story.
I was having another one-on-one conversation with another camper, and she kind of had a bit of behavioral issues, so I spent most of my week with her. We really had a relationship and a friendship, and so we were making bracelets together, and she started talking to me about God and how to become a Christian and everything. So I told her, and we prayed together. So I had my eyes closed, and I was praying, and I opened my eyes, and her face is right here, and she's like, amen!
A really awesome story that happened at camp was another one of my staff sat down with this kid who was fully expecting this one-on-one, and she sat down with him, and before she could say anything, he was just like, all right, so you told me how to become a Christian. I want to do it. I want to do it right now. And so he asked God for forgiveness had his Lord as his personal Lord and Savior. And he was filled with so much excitement because of this that he ran around the church giving high fives to everyone, telling them that what had just happened. And it was amazing. This cute little guy just running around giving high fives to everyone. And that just, it really makes camp so amazing with these stories that we get to tell and all of these things.
Yeah. So, as leaders at this camp, we pour into these kids, and we pour and we pour, and we have fun with them, and we just enjoy them, and you can tell that the kids really enjoy us, because I've been out at the mall shopping, and I've had kids run over and hug me and yell, Cricket, Cricket, you're here, I miss you so much, and it's just really great to have this relationship with these kids, and we know that next year at camp we will see them and they'll remember us and they'll be like, wow, you helped me get that strike at bowling. And it's just really awesome to see them love us and learn more about God and love him. And it also brings it to their families too, because they go home and they talk about it. Even our dentist, she sends her kids to our camp, and she was telling my mom that her boys came home and talked all about camp and said that they really wanted to go to church. So they're going to church now, and she's bringing them and her husband. So yeah, it just really is a great ministry, and it really spreads across Sarnia.
Yeah, it spreads all over the place. I have another story. Okay, this will be our last story. Our last one. So this is a very interesting story because so at camp, sometimes kids get sick. It's not very good, but there was one camp leader who was our special needs coordinator who had to deal with all of the kids who were sick and all that stuff. And there was kids that had thrown up that he had to deal with. So then this situation happens. Out of the bathroom, a kid comes running, and it's this very tall guy. He's very tall. And he comes up to him, and he said that a kid threw up in the bathroom. And so he walks into the bathroom with another leader and stuff, and he looks around. And he's looking around, and he doesn't see anything. And the kid just keeps on saying, yeah, the kid threw up. And all this stuff. And it's just a little, like, probably five-year-old. And he can't see anything. He's looking everywhere for this. And then the kid walks over, and he's like, yeah, this is the guy who threw up. And he's like, okay, where'd you throw up? And he, like, points up. And this guy's just like, what? He's, like, looking on the shelves, because there's shelves in the bathroom. He's looking. He can't see anything. And then he's like, what do you mean you threw up? And he's like, he threw up my shirt on the shelf. Can you get it down for me? And it was like, and so, but this guy had been dealing with this all summer long now. So he was fully expecting he was going to have to put on the gloves and get ready to go again. But yeah, so that's all of our stories. And that's, yeah. There's another slide. Oh, yes, there is. Wrapping it up. Okay, so, yeah. So with this whole thing, it was an awesome summer. Amazing. Loved every second of it. There was nothing I would have changed. Thank you for all of the prayers and support that you guys had for us. We had one of the best summers ever. There was no parental complaints, no injuries resulting in hospital trip, and nothing like that. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah, and so I know that I was affected by camp in being able to talk in front of people now. I know that I'm extremely introverted. I still am, but I actually am able to talk in front of people now, which is really cool, and talking on the phone isn't too bad. Still kind of stinks, but it's not as bad. And sharing the gospel is something that's we're able to do, which is just like, and something that's just amazing about this year was I was a little worried about preaching the gospel to tons of kids. And then a friend came up to me and was like, well, it's not about you. You can say, you can tell your story, tell the story, and you can cry all day long because you didn't say something or you did say something that you shouldn't have said. And what's God going to do? Is he going to, God's going to look at it and be like, did you do your best? No, you could have done better, but can I still work with that? And the answer is yes. And it's like the story of Jonah. When he finally did end up going to Nineveh, he basically just preached, you're all going to hell and I could care less. And God saved the whole place. So something that was really cool was putting that into practice, that we're going to get up in front of tons of kids and tell them about God, and he is going to work through that. And he's going to use his power to do that, because we do not have that power. Yeah.
We could probably talk about camp all night, but yeah, we're definitely going to wrap it up for you. This summer has just been amazing, and the way that we can step out in our faith and be stretched and really pour into these kids is really amazing. We had over 100 campers proclaim Christ, and even if that isn't a true proclaiming, it's a seed planted, and families can be told about that too. So at Temple, we have this thing where we write down each camper's name who proclaimed to be saved, and we pray for them for the whole year. So it's just amazing how day camp really affects Temple and Sarnia and area, and we still pray for them, and Temple's still so involved in it, and the kids look forward all year to coming. So, yeah, it was just really great, and we thank you for your prayer and your support.